What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. Got a quick one for you today. As the Warriors beat the Celtics over the weekend, their top Eastern Conference challenger, they take on the Pacers today, who would have been a great matchup, but an injury kind of derailed that. And a top superstar in the NBA requests a trade. Going to cover all that and more coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What is good? The Warriors beat the Celtics over the weekend, 115 to 111. Celtics, in my opinion, and I think some other opinions as well, definitely the Warriors' number one challenger, I think, in the league, personally, at the very least in the East, because I really don't think there's much of a challenge in the West. OKC's up there, but I still just don't believe in them. But we will see. Anyways, doesn't matter because the Warriors took on the Celtics, prime time, ABC game, and beat them. I wouldn't say handily, but it also wasn't their best game by any means for the Golden State Warriors. Not their best game, not Steph's best game, not Klay's best game, any of those guys. And you can debate whether that was because of how Boston played, or is it because of how the Warriors played. You know, did Boston force them to not play well? Are the Warriors, you know, tired on this road trip that they're going on, which we will also see tonight in Indiana. But let's stick with the Celtics game, which was, it was good. I mean, it was good. It was entertaining. It was fun. Went down to the wire. In the first quarter, Steph Curry struggled. He was 0 for 3 with two fouls and had to rest after 8 minutes, which threw off the rotation. There's no doubt about it. It threw off the rotation because, as we know and have talked about, now he's back to playing the entirety of the first quarter, if not just most of it. But he had two fouls in that first 8 minutes and had to come out. So Andre comes in for him as well as Alphonso McKinney. So it was a rough first quarter for him. I mean, that's all there is to it. Klay was fine in the first. He put up 8 points. KD really got going in the first. He was 6 of 11 from the field. 0 of 2 from 3, though. 14 points. And the Warriors end the first up 4. They did a good job of defending. They were definitely locked in defensively. But it wasn't until the end of the game, the last 4 or 5 minutes, as well as the end of the third. I have to give them credit end of the third, because there was a run there where the Celtics didn't score any points. I think it was like the last four minutes of the third. But later in the game is when they really locked in and brought it home. Second quarter, Steph, this is where Steph goes off. He gets the run in the second quarter. I think he knocks down 4 threes in a row, gives a new kind of dance jig, whatever you want to call it. This one was different. I liked it, though. It was it damn near turned into a cabbage patch. But I'll take it. I'm all for it. I'm for all that stuff. He was definitely the headliner in the third. He was the best in the third because no one else really played that well. In the second, besides Sean Livingston. And one of the great things we saw in that Celtics game, and it's not just from Sean Livingston, but from DeMarcus Cousins, we're really starting to see him take that role that David West played. And it just shows how important David West was for the Warriors these last couple years, just running that second unit out of the post, and how effective that can be, too. I mean, that's the other thing. David West, incredibly important. DeMarcus Cousins having the ability to do some of the same things, very important. But seeing how effective that offense they run, passing out of the post, whether it was D. West or now DeMarcus, is pretty incredible. And Sean got, I think, at least 3 dunks cutting off of DeMarcus or Draymond, for that matter. But he got a couple of different dunks. Just cutting to the rim off of a Draymond or Boogie post up. So the second quarter was pretty even. Warriors scored 32, Celtics 33. So we go into the second half with the Warriors up 2. This was a tough matchup, and it was talked about before the game. Kyrie Irving is a guy that, I think Marcus Thompson tweeted it, but we've noticed it for the years that they played the Cavs in the finals. Kyrie Irving is one of the favorite players in the NBA of the Warriors players, if that makes sense. They love him. I think they really respect his game, which is not hard to do. I mean, he's an incredible player. That's the other thing. I last week I was hating on his post-game stuff and some of his, you know, faux intellectual rants. But as far as on the court goes, he's incredible. He's ridiculous. And he showed it again against the Warriors. But back to what I was saying, Warriors go in second half. Up 2. They do hold it down in the third again, 29-25. So they're up 6 going into the fourth. And this is where it got a little hairy. A little rough. The Celtics, look, they wouldn't go away. They played hard. That's what they do. Marcus Morris, and I think it's Marcus Morris, not Markieff. Yeah, it's Marcus, has had a hell of a year. I mean, he is going to get paid this offseason for real, and I don't think it's going to be by the Celtics, which is too bad. I mean, it's not too bad, but that's the type of player you would love to hang on to, but with some of their other top-end talent, they're probably not going to be able to pay him. He's going to get broke off this offseason. He deserves it because he's been playing incredible. But moving on to the fourth quarter, Warriors, man, they did not play that well in the fourth. They were 5 of 17 from the field. KD was 1 of 4. Klay was 2 of 4. Steph was 0 of 1, which is another problem. How does Steph only get one shot in the fourth quarter? They were scheming to take him out of the game, but then you got to adjust. You got to get Steph more shots than that in the quarter. But either way, they were able to get to the line 16 times in the fourth, knock down 14 of them, able to pull this one out. I want to get into some of the more specific stuff in this game, and specifically DeMarcus Cousins, because he's going to be a main topic for the Warriors moving forward until we know exactly what he is and what he brings to the team. He had a good game. He had a good game. There were some negatives, but for the most part, he was solid. He had 15 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 1 block. And I think all 3 of those steals came on Kyrie. And one of the things I wanted to talk about with DeMarcus was this was his first test, his first defensive test, I guess you could say, or his hardest defensive test. But you could see that, I mean, he's going to be targeted. He's going to be targeted in the playoffs. He's going to be targeted some during the regular season, obviously, but really in the playoffs when it comes time, that he's going to be targeted, especially against the Rockets if they see him, Kyrie also. But the other thing offensively, as you can see, is the Warriors are still getting comfortable with DeMarcus, and DeMarcus is still getting comfortable with the Warriors, where they're not used to playing with a big like him, a big that can post up. And he's not used to playing with, you know, 3 of the greatest shooters of all time. So it's still a work in progress, but we are seeing progression, and we're seeing it at a really fast pace. I mean, 4 games in, I did not think he would look this good or this comfortable. And one of the good things about his play that I mentioned defensively, yeah, he was targeted, but he wasn't unplayable. It wasn't a situation where, you know, when the Rockets put in Joe Johnson or Ryan Anderson last year in the playoffs and Steph's eyes got, you know, 9 inches wide and just embarrassed them both off the court, like ended their careers practically, ended Joe Johnson's career. But it wasn't that. It was not that. He did get picked on. He was exposed a few times. But we're going to talk about that a little more coming up. But I thought it was a solid game from DeMarcus. He did a great job getting to the line, 7 free throws, and some of those just came from hustle. Some of those were him just beating Al Horford down the court, and Al Horford just taking the foul instead of giving up an open layup. Defensively, the Warriors still were giving up open threes. That's something they're going to have to work on, something they're going to have to adjust to, because the league's different now. They've all kind of copied the Warriors, and they're all taking a a load of threes now, and the Warriors are going to have to defend them. As far as the bench goes, I thought Sean Livingston and Kevon Looney were great. Andre, oddly enough, was still really good, even though he went 0-for-5 and only scored 1 point from the free throw line. Andre still had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks. And that's just the stats that show up. A lot of what he does not show up on the stat sheet, as we all know. But Kevon Looney, 8 points, 6 rebounds, and guess the split on those rebounds. That's right, 3 offensive, 3 defensive. It always seems like it's a 50-50 split with him, and I'll take it every time. This bench role for him has not derailed any of his productivity. He's been great, and they're actually playing him and Cousins together at times, which is interesting. I'm going to talk about that in just a sec. Sean Livingston went 4-6 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 3 offensive rebounds that were pretty big. 1 assist, 8 points. He was really good. And it's good to see Sean getting back to himself, I guess. I think he had 3 dunks and then 1 nice mid-range shot, all at times that were needed as well. I did mention Kevon Looney and DeMarcus Cousins playing together, which is a little weird, and we'll see how that works, how that continues. They are just trying to figure out lineups, and Cousins does like playing with another big, he mentioned. The way I look at it is, if you can play DeMarcus and Draymond together, then why can't you play DeMarcus and Looney together? And there might be plenty of reasons why. They might get exposed. But as far as the shooting goes, because that's usually what it comes down to, is the spacing. With DeMarcus and Draymond, DeMarcus is the floor spacer. Yes, Draymond is still a better three-point shooter than Looney, even though Draymond's not a very good three-point shooter. But if teams are just going to leave Draymond at the three-point line, what's the difference between him and Kevon Looney? There isn't much of one. And again, like I said, we'll see. It's something they're trying out. But Looney and Cousins on the boards is a force. You throw Alphonso McKinney in that lineup too, that turns one of their weaknesses into a major strength. They actually out-rebounded the Celtics 53-49. KD had 9. Draymond had 11. DeMarcus Cousins had 8. Andre had 6. Kevon Looney had 6. McKinney 3. Sean Livingston 4. So they were getting after the boards. I mean, they have the big guys that will put up the bigger numbers, but as a team, they were getting after it. And that's a good thing to see. As I said, Warriors beat the Celtics 115-111. A good game, 10th win in a row, 9th win in a row on the road. They go into Indiana tonight to play the Pacers. Going to talk about that. Going to talk a little bit more about DeMarcus Cousins' defense. Also going to talk about a superstar requesting a trade today. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just talked about the Celtics game and just some of the positives, some of the negatives. Not great defensively, but they did lock in late in the game. And speaking of defense, DeMarcus Cousins was, I'd give him a pass. If it was pass or fail, he passed. It wasn't, you know, a defensive player of the year type of game, but he also wasn't unplayable. It wasn't a situation where, you know, you had to take him off the court. He was targeted at times, and they were able to get buckets off of targeting him at times. But he also locked in late in the game. He had 3 steals all on Kyrie. He had a nice block on Kyrie late in the game. He was solid. He was solid. He was playable. And considering it's his 4th game back, maybe some of his deficiencies are from communication, from things that will get better as he spends more time with this team. Maybe they're physical and they can't be fixed. I don't know. But either way, I thought he was solid tonight. Draymond and Klay were all asked about it. Here are their responses back to back to back. So pay attention. Here's what they had to say.
I think I did okay. I mean, it was some things I could have done better. And, you know, I plan on working on that. And, you know, some things I think I did well. But, you know, it's still a process for me. I still got a lot of work to do, you know. Getting used to the scheme of the team and individually as a player, just, you know, getting my feet back and my rhythm back. So, you know, but I think I did decent.
How do you limit the fouls?
Huh?
How do you think you can limit the fouls?
don't know. I'm going to have to start taking these guys out to dinner or something. but some are silly mistakes, and then, you know, some I just kind of scratch my head at. But, it is what it is. I have to adjust and, you know, figure it out. So, you know, hopefully I have a better showing next game.
Marcus, it's obviously early, but, like, have you noticed anything how different the game is called compared to previous years?
Hell yeah. Yes. I know you guys.
Very good defensively. You know, he moved his feet very well. Came over a couple big steals for us. Like, he's great on the defensive end, protecting the rim. And, you know, you got a guy like Kyrie coming downhill on you. That's tough. Probably one of the toughest guys from that aspect of guard in the league. So, that was really encouraging and great for us to pull this game out with, you know, the defense that he's playing.
When he's on the floor, you guys change how you guard the pick and roll. How does that change, you know, your assignment?
When you guard it standard, you know, the standard way, then you have to pull in and help more because it's not just a switch and you're keeping a guy on a body on each guy. So maybe pulling in to help a little bit more, but I've been doing an amazing job.
Did you have a confidence to win the game even you lost last time?
You guys are playing the pick and roll differently when DeMarcus is on the floor. How does that change kind of the job for the other
switching, guy? So communication is key. Can't relax, and DeMarcus has been great. You saw we hit that steal out of Kyrie that blocked the rim. He's been really good for us in our defense. You know, I think he'd be a step slow because what he had to go through, but he's not, and he's been incredible.
So that was Boogie, Draymond, and Clay talking about Boogie's defense. All kind of agree, you know, he's working his way back. And that was Clay being soft-spoken at the end. Sorry if you can't really pick out what he was saying. DeMarcus was also talking about the fouls. He's been picking up a lot of fouls. He picked up 5 in the game against Boston. As we all know, he fouled out earlier in the year in his first game. So it's something that he's working on. But again, I think DeMarcus needs to be graded on a curve. This is his 4th game back. With no training camp, no preseason, barely any offseason. He was rehabbing. He was rehabbing this whole time. So I think the way he's playing is pretty remarkable, all things considered. One last thing I want to mention, I can't believe I forgot to mention it, was that crazy sequence at the end of the Celtics game where Draymond gets the rebound, gets fouled, Warriors are up 2, really only need him to make 1. 2 ices the game, misses the first, ends up missing the second. The Celtics, Marcus Smart specifically, over pursue. Ball bounces back to Draymond. He kicks it out to Steph. Steph gets to the line. Just a wild sequence. Even though Draymond is not a great free throw shooter, he's solid. He's in the 70s. I expect at least 1. I expect both, honestly. And man, for that to have, that was pretty funny. I don't know. Just had to throw that one in there. To wrap up the Celtics talk. Warriors are taking on the Pacers tonight, or this afternoon, really. Victor Oladipo, as we all know, went down with a gruesome injury last week. I hate injuries, period. Really hated this one for Vic. We go by nicknames now. I call him Vic. I hated this for him. He was kind of my dark horse pick for MVP this offseason. Obviously, he wasn't there. He didn't reach that level, but he was taking this really deep Indiana team to great places. They were, I think, the 3rd seed in the East, and now without Victor Oladipo, you know, I think they'll still make the playoffs, but it's going to be at a much lower seed, and I don't know, probably a first round exit. But Boogie going through what he just went through. Was asked about Victor Oladipo. Here's what Boogie had to say.
Oh, man, I hate it. I hate to see a guy with an ankle sprain. You know, we put our bodies through so much to play this game. And, I feel like it's just kind of undervalued how much we go through. But I hate to see any guy go down. And once again, you got to – you know, Oladipo's dealing with an injury that's like, you know, almost unheard of, and it's like probably one of the toughest to come back from. So, shout out to him, you know, wishing him the best. There's no doubt in my mind he's going to, you know, battle back from that and, be even better player than he was before. But, you just hate to see any guy go through, you know, that type of thing. It sucks. It really does.
I absolutely agree with Boogie. Wouldn't expect really a different answer from him. Injuries are the worst, and you hate to see it. And like he said, you hate to see an ankle sprain. Steve Kerr was actually asked about the injury as well, and he goes into pretty good depth, not just about the injury, but the respect level he has for this Indiana Pacers team.
Yeah, that was brutal. He's had such a great run the last couple of years. He's elevated his game to the point where he's become one of the top 20 players in the league, perennial all-star, and young guy. And I hate seeing that happen to anybody, of course, but especially somebody like Oladipo, who's worked his way up to reach this plateau, this level where he's playing. It's just a shame for him and for their franchise. And they've done such a good job the last couple of years, since they lost Paul George, of kind of rebuilding and quickly reorganizing into an elite team. They beat us twice last year. They're physical, they're tough, they're defensive minded. So we have a lot of respect for what they do and what Nate does. But you just hate to see an injury like that to Oladipo. It's just brutal.
There's Steve Kerr on the Oladipo injury and just the Pacers moving forward, man. That's a tough one. And seemingly, Quinn Cook has a connection to almost everyone in the league. Him and Oladipo actually went to high school together. He's been, honoring him with his shoes the last couple games, and I'm sure he'll do so tonight as well. As far as tonight's game goes, again, they still have a bunch of depth. They're missing their star. I thought this might be a trap game going into it with Oladipo. Without Oladipo, it still could be, because the Warriors could let off the gas. See, they're coming to the end of a road trip and just figure whatever. But there's still a bunch of good players on this team. Sabonis is a beast. I know Vic, I keep calling him Vic. Victor Oladipo gets the headlines of that trade, the Paul George trade, which he probably should. But Sabonis was part of that too, and he's a monster. He's a monster in the post. He can also shoot from the outside. He hasn't done much of it this year, but he does have that ability. Miles Turner might be up for Defensive Player of the Year this year. So that is interesting just for the Warriors in general, but also when you look at this will be another tough test for DeMarcus Cousins. The test against Horford and Baines wasn't as bad. The test with the Celtics was more about pick and roll defense, etc. But tonight it's going to be about guys in the post and, a great defensive center in Miles Turner. So that'll be interesting to see. Can Clay continue to play solid offensively? Look, his defense has been great. He had one of the best defensive possessions I can remember against Kyrie in the Celtics game late, where he forced an air ball. Clay's been great defensively, so even though I harp on his shooting because it's been off, he's definitely brought a ton to the Warriors still this season. But can he find more consistency offensively? Instead of knocking down 10 threes and then going, 1 for 5. So that's something I'm looking for. Steph, KD, obviously. Draymond is resting tonight. He's getting the rest. So it'll be interesting to see who Steve Kerr puts in the starting lineup. Jarebko, I think, is still out on paternity leave. I don't know if that's the official term, but he and his wife just had their second baby. So congrats to the Jarebkos. But don't know if he'll be back for this game. If not, do you go with Jordan Bell? Is Marcus Derrickson going to get a surprise start? If Marcus Derrickson gets the start, I'd be interested to see it. I'm a fan of Marcus Derrickson, as you all know, but I don't know, that doesn't bode great for Jordan Bell. Nothing's really boded great for Jordan Bell this year. So those are things to look for. Obviously, should be a good game. The loss of Oladipo does hurt the intrigue of it, but hell, it's the Warriors, so I'm going to be watching. You all are too. Come back. Going to talk about a superstar requesting a trade today. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Just talked about the Pacers game tonight, and also want to talk about Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans has officially requested a trade. Basically said, you know, I'm not going to re-sign here, so let's try and find somewhere for me to go. Let me help you guys get something for this asset that I am. And not a ton on it right now because, look, we'll have plenty more of it moving forward. But I don't think he gets traded before the deadline. The Celtics actually aren't allowed to make a trade for him until July 1st, which is, I don't know, it's some convoluted thing in the CBA. Who the hell knows? But because of that, I wouldn't want to make a trade if I'm New Orleans. I'm waiting for the team with the most assets that they can give up in return for Anthony Davis. I'm waiting until they're eligible to make the move. Lakers, I still don't see it, you know, unless New Orleans is in love with some of their young players, which I'm not. Not in return for Anthony Davis, absolutely not. Their draft picks don't hold any weight, really, because if you're trading Anthony Davis there, the Lakers only own their own draft picks, so you're going to get draft picks in the late 20s. So no thanks. I'm going to the Celtics, who have picks from lesser teams that you can get extra lottery picks from, and you can get players with higher ceilings from. I would wait for the Celtics, personally, and I think that's what's going to happen. Not only that, you're waiting to find out who the draft order as well. Find out who wins the draft lottery, and are they willing to give up that number one pick? This could be a Andrew Wiggins, Kevin Love type scenario where a team actually makes a pick for the number one overall spot. Like maybe they take Zion Williamson, you know, let's say it's the Knicks, and then they work out a trade with the Pelicans, you know, Zion for AD and, you know, probably another player or two, obviously, but there's a lot to it. I know there's been rumors about the Warriors. I just don't see it. Like that is tough. That's going to be tough for them to make happen. Because Klay is an unrestricted free agent this offseason. I doubt New Orleans would be one of his destinations. So a sign-and-trade, moving Klay to New Orleans wouldn't work. I don't think Draymond is enough to get that done. So I just don't see it. But, you know, who knows? Bob Myers is a G and has figured out some crazy things before. But it's nothing is going to happen before the trade deadline. I would be shocked. I would be shocked if Anthony Davis is moved before the trade deadline. So really basic stuff right there, because like I said, this is going to be an ongoing saga probably for the next 6 months at least. So we'll have plenty more on it moving forward. League pass picks for tonight, Monday the 28th. We got 5 games, only one really good one on paper. And you would kind of have to dive deep to find out that it's a good one, but that's Brooklyn and Boston going tonight. And the reason why I say dive deep, because you hear Brooklyn, you're like, yeah, they're having an okay season. No, they're having a really damn good season. They're one of my favorite teams out there for what they've been able to do the last couple years, rebuilding this franchise. They're 27-23. They are 10-2 in their last 12. Once Caris LeVert went out, who was a great story, not just this year, but his entire career, considering the injuries he had at Michigan, for him to come back and play this way and become... Star is strong, but on the star trajectory in his third year, to have that injury, the Nets stumbled a little bit after that injury, but they are back on track. Like I said, they 10-2 in their last 12, 18-5 in their last 23. This team is good. This team is good, and they built this team by nailing draft picks first off. Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, both picked in the 20s. Rodion Skurić, who is playing well for them right now, picked number 40. By the way, that doesn't look great considering the Warriors took Jacob Evans at 28, and he's only playing in the G League. By the way, playing pretty well recently, but still, Rodion Skurić should be a Warrior. He's not. He's a Brooklyn Net. The Nets are killing it. They're doing a great job, and they've added people by taking on bad contracts. And like I said, we look at bad contracts as if this player is useless. No, it just means they're overpaid. They're still getting value out of Jared Dudley, out of Damari Carroll. Alan Crabb's been hurt, but still, they get value out of him as well. So, Brooklyn and Boston, we just saw how good Boston is too. So, that's an interesting one to me. And then, I got to go Golden State, Indiana for all the reasons that I mentioned. And on top of that, the rest of the games kind of suck. No good games really tonight, besides Brooklyn and Boston and Golden State, Indiana, which is a little bit of a stretch. Come back tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth. right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.